All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, a quick word here. I remind you, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Premier League is on, Champions League is on, Houston Dynamo in the playoffs. It's time to get out to the patio, get out to your friend's house, or come out to a live soccer game here in Houston. But most importantly, get your friends, get an ice cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And a big thank you to all who have listened in and all who are piling up all the podcast clicks. We get between 10 and 12,000 podcast connections every single month. So we're very proud of that here at ESPN 97.5 and Soccer Matters. With that, we bring on the managing director of On Target Football Consultants. He is in England. He is Rob Moore, and we're really, really excited to have him on the program. Not a guy that you get the opportunity to interview. So, Rob, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity here on the program.
My pleasure, Glenn. No problem.
Well, let's first off, let's just tell me a little bit. I just want to give you a platform to tell me about On Target Football and Consultants, what you specifically do, because you've got a varied background. We're going to get into that. But let's first talk about your company, On Target Football Consultants.
Well, basically, Glenn, we work with a number of leading clubs throughout Europe, whether they be in England, in Germany, Scotland, Belgium, the Netherlands, all over Scandinavia, all over different clubs of different levels. And we just help identify talent that they may be interested in and based on their needs, introduce that talent to them. And hopefully it works out for all the parties that it's the kind of player that they are looking for and that is the kind of club that the player is looking for himself.
Now, Rob has a number of players placed in Europe, a lot in the German Bundesliga, and one that everybody listening to the show knows, in Christian Pulisic at Dortmund, Haji Wright at Schalke, to name a few, Isaiah Young at Werder Bremen. So I'm so interested to talk to you about the process with Christian and how it happened, how you made the connection, and then how you assessed him, how he assessed you, and then how he gets to Dortmund.
Yeah, well, basically it goes back to quite a while back where Greg Peterson, who does work for my company in the U.S., Greg's based in Florida, and he'd been tracking Christian for quite some time when I think he was already about 12 or 13 years old, really been monitoring his progress. And it came to a trip that Christian was part of, I think it was the ID2 program, where he came to Europe with a team to play against FC Barcelona. And at that time, my company was based in Spain and in Barcelona. And one of my staff members went out to watch Christian play against Barcelona in that particular age group. And he came back to us and gave the report back that, well, the best player on the field, fantastic talent. And, from then on, we obviously followed his progress and made contact with him, made contact with his dad. And then it was at a tournament in Turkey when Christian was playing for the U-17s of the 1998 cycle, 1998 born cycle that they played in a tournament in Turkey. I think it was in January 2014. There were a number of scouts and clubs that were there that we were interacting with. And Dortmund was one of them. And scout of Dortmund, Volker Popper, came to me afterwards and after a couple of the games and said to me, wow, that's a fantastic talent, blah, 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 blah. And from there, we were, able to put the club in contact with Christian and really help him set up something that ended up being as special as it is today, And, obviously, it was he had great fortune in being able to get his Croatian passport, which, you know, Dortmund, through their connections, helped the application get over the finish line, so to speak, so that he could be registered. And, you know, his progress was exceptionally rapid, you know.
So what was the thing about Dortmund that made you think that this is the right fit for Christian? Because, you know, that's the other part of your job, is you want to put the player in an environment where it's going to accelerate his development and be a good fit for him.
Yeah, well, they've got very, very good youth teams. And the coach at the time of the U17 was a coach by the name of Hannes Wolf. And Hannes, he's an extraordinarily good young coach. Germany is blessed with having this new generation of coaches, whether it be Nagelsmann at Hoffenheim, whether it be Tedesco at Schalke, whether it be Keenan at Sandhausen, or Hannes Wolf, who's now a coach at Stuttgart, and a young up-and-coming coach for Stuttgart first team. You know, Germany is really, I'd say, much more than England, producing this next wave of young, highly talented coaches. And all these guys started off doing youth football. I mean, a guy like Domenico Tedesco, who's the Schalke coach, and who's now led Schalke to being back up in the Champions League places this season, in the Bundesliga table. Domenico, a little while ago, I think it was maybe only two seasons ago, was the under-19 coach at Hoffenheim. And then he went on to do one season with a second division club called Auer, very small club in the German second division. And then he was appointed the Schalke coach of the season and has done a wonderful job. So it's an environment that Germany more than England at this stage, for sure, and probably even more than Spain, I would say, is a league that is being influenced greatly by this new generation of young coaches, and they are giving young players the opportunity to put their marker in the sand and say, this is what I can do, and if you give me a chance.
He's Rob.
And it's been fantastic.
He's Rob Moore, the managing director of On Target Football Consultants. We're talking about Christian Pulisic, the U.S. international, also plays at Dortmund. It seems like Germany and the Bundesliga are very interested in the American player. Am I correct to say that? Or what is it about the connection with the Bundesliga and the young American player now?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, I think they like the mentality, generally speaking, of the American players. The players are pretty mature and they're prepared to work hard and try to reach their goals, and they can learn. They can learn quickly. So they're coachable. So I think that appeals to the German clubs. Obviously, the players have to be a certain technical level and fit all the various criteria, of course. The other important thing, which I don't think people in America really understand, and they don't understand the implications of what a certain group is going down a certain road and how it's going to affect American soccer, is that right now, the whole debate about no training and development compensation being payable to American clubs by law, by U.S. law. So therefore, America has a unique position because the clubs in Europe look at this situation and they say, okay, we can take this player at 18 years old from America. It's a risk because he's never played outside of America before. But there's not a lot of barrier to entry, so let's give him a chance. Let's take a chance on it. And if it's not going to work, it's not going to cost too much money to make a mistake. Now, there's a group who's lobbying to get paid training and development compensation and blah, 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 blah. As soon as that comes in, you will immediately see a drop in U.S. players moving abroad to Europe. Because then all of a sudden, an American player is getting put up against a European player, who's probably cheaper to acquire. It's cheaper for a German club to go down the road and get another German player than it is for them to go and sign an American player. So right now the circumstances are favorable for Americans going to Germany. American passports have a special position in Germany in respect of getting work permits. So that's a big plus factor. For example, an 18-year-old American cannot go to England and sign for an English club because he won't get a work permit unless he's playing for the senior national team of the U.S. So England is out for 99.9% of all American players at 18 years old. So therefore, Germany is a desirable destination, and America is a desirable country to source talent from. But as soon as the market dynamics change and the financial dynamics change, then you're going to see a drop. And the drop in players is then going to impact on the national team's ability to have the strongest possible pool of developed young players at the highest level.
Absolutely fascinating. And so if you're a young American player right now and you have an opportunity in Germany, this is the time to do it while the soil is tilled before, you know, obviously the compensation rules and things change. So it's absolutely fascinating.
No, exactly.
The way you just described
it. Glenn, but the important thing is, Glenn, you know, that's not to say that I'm not, me personally, it's not to say that I'm against clubs being compensated for developing young players. Of course I believe that. I used to be a club owner myself previously. My suggestion when I spoke to Sunil Gulati about this, I said, Sunil, they shouldn't be chasing the training and development compensation and creating a barrier to entry for the young Americans to Europe. What they should be really pushing for is a bigger payment of the solidarity percentage that then gets paid. Because, you know, there's two payments, Glenn, that get made in professional soccer. In the first stage, there's the training and development compensation that you pay a club to. You pay a club for signing, for when the player signs his first professional contract. You have to go pay a certain amount of clubs that the player has played for in his youth. Now that formula is pretty expensive, okay, when you're making an international transfer. The second thing is, between the ages, I think it is, of 21 and 28, somewhere in that range, 10% of all transfer revenue when a player gets sold, so the player is sold for $1 million, 10% is held back of the transfer amount, or 5%, I think it's 5 or 10%, and that amount then is again divided amongst all the clubs that he's previously played for. So my point is this. Don't go and charge on the way in because you're going to stop deals getting done. Rather, give the player the chance to succeed. And when he has succeeded, then share in a greater percentage than what the current percentage is. That's what I believe, because then clubs look at this and they say, well, I don't mind paying for somebody that's made the grade. I don't mind it. But on the other hand, if they've got to pay on the way in and they've got to take a risk on somebody who might never make it, well, that's then a different matter, and that's when players start getting lost and opportunities in their career start getting lost.
So it's an opportunity killer in a way.
100%. And I think that the group of clubs chasing this with U.S. soccer have completely missed the point of the whole exercise. And I think that U.S. soccer would actually do well to look at this and say, we can't afford for less of our players to have the chance to go to Europe to develop at the highest level and ultimately come back and represent our country as better educated, better developed young men.
Is it fair to say then that by not adopting that idea and policy, you are actually hurting player development, aren't you?
Well, if you go down that route, then for sure you're actually in the bigger picture of the selected few that can make it in Europe. you are potentially closing doors for them.
Yeah, you're stunting opportunity, right?
100%. And for me, what I can't understand why it's never been challenged in a legal perspective. You got a kid who signs up with his family for a club at 12 years old, naively just wanting to play soccer for the sake of playing soccer because he loves the game. And as it turns out, in the next 3-4 years, he turns into a pretty good player. And then all of a sudden he thinks, well, maybe I can make a career of this. And then he reaches 18 and he wants to go to Europe, and suddenly there's a price tag of $300,000 around his head before, in training and development compensation that must be payable, before he can have the opportunity to go play in Europe. It's crazy. It's a complete restraint of trade for a young man. I just can't believe that that rule hasn't been challenged more worldwide than, and obviously this must have been at the root of the original rulings that have been in American soccer, where the American courts must have realized that this was the case. You cannot restrain a kid of 18 from embarking on a professional career.
Back to Christian Pulisic in Dortmund. How did the decision become made to have Christian's father sort of accompany him over there? Because we hear that a lot, and obviously that would be a very steadying influence for a young man. How did that all come about? And, you know, just kind of shed a little light on that maybe, Rob.
Yeah, well, Mark was over there with Christian for the early stages, I think, from when he was, at 16 years old till about... when was it? It was actually just on January this year. So Christian would have been 18 then. So that was obviously a tremendous benefit for him to have his dad there with him. And because it's also tough, you know. I mean, you see millions of people see the match on Saturday, and the player hit the back of the net, and 85,000 people go crazy, and all the headlines in the media, and you think, you know, this is a lovely life, and this is easy, you know. But it's the tough days, you know, when you come home in February and it's dark at 3 o'clock and it's snowing and you're injured or you've been dropped or you haven't had, things haven't gone as you would have wanted them to go in the last month, and suddenly home seems like a long way away, you know. And it's always good in that kind of situation if you can have your parents with you, and like Christian had that benefit. He was very fortunate that to have Mark with him. So that was a very important part of his settling down and his success as well.
So here in Major League Soccer, and I did want to kind of relate something to you, because Christian was the perfect messenger to remind people that the 16 to 18 year age time period is so vital to accelerating player development and, you know, just garnering everything you can organically at that stage with proper training and moving a player's development forward. I don't think there's any question that in Major League Soccer, we have a real difficult time getting a 16 or a 17 or 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds on the field in the league. And we sometimes, during commentary on broadcasts, are talking about players being young at 21 and 22, and we know that's not the case in Europe. Young is 17, 18, 19. Do you think Major League Soccer needs to incentivize coaches and managers to play younger players? I mean, do they even could even go as far as maybe instituting a mandatory rule that says 17, 18, 19-year-olds have to have, you know, your club has to have 2,500 minutes throughout a season. I don't know, whatever it is. But do you think it needs to be incentivized? Because my fear is some of these under-17s that were so talented in India in the FIFA Under-17 World Cup are going to have 2 years of not really seeing the field in Major League Soccer.
Well, Glenn, here's something that will shock you, okay? And this is just my personal opinion. If Christian Pulisic had only a U.S. passport, and at the time Christian Pulisic turned 18, I would be expecting that he would be a USL player in America. I do not believe that he would have had opportunities to play as a regular MLS player at 18 years old. That's my firm belief. People will laugh at that, say, how is that possible? He was already on the way to becoming a regular at Dortmund at 18. How can you say something like that? But it's a fact, because the history is there. There aren't any, as you say, players that at 17, 18 have been regular players, starting lineup players in MLS. Now, to answer your question, should clubs be incentivized? I don't believe in that, because then players aren't earning their minutes. But what I do believe is coaches have to be braver. They can, a coach in the MLS can never turn around and say, well, I've got a high pressure job. I'm expected to win. My team's expected to win. I haven't got time to put a youngster in and develop him and blah, blah, blah. I don't agree with that at all, because you can't tell me there's a single club in the MLS where the coach is under more pressure than the coach of Dortmund to deliver. Dortmund is number two team in Germany, but with a fan base that's massive, one of the highest supported teams in Europe, which has been in the Champions League final, which has won the Champions League before. And the people of that club expect, and there's 83,000 of them every home game, they expect their club to win. And they expect their club to win honors. And how is it possible then that the coach of Dortmund can have the balls to have not only Christian Pulisic, but have Felix Puslak, also a 1998-born player, playing? They've got now Jadon Sancho, born 2000, getting the odd minutes. They've got a 1999 striker, Alexander Isaac, who's playing. Now, you can't tell me that there's a single MLS coach who's under more pressure than the Dortmund coach. So why can't MLS coaches, or coaches in America in general, I would say, why aren't they brave enough? Why aren't they prepared to take a young talent and record, or maybe they just aren't seeing the talent. That's another thing you've got to ask yourself, Glenn. Are they actually seeing the qualities of these players? And are they recognizing this? Because if they were, they'd be saying, well, hold on a minute, doesn't matter how old he is, he's good enough. That's the old Ajax Amsterdam motto: if you're good enough, you're old enough. So you know, that's, and I don't for 1 minute believe that there are 20 or 25 17-year-olds that should be playing regularly in the MLS. I don't believe that, okay? But I certainly believe that there's much more that warrant more minutes than what has been shown to date.
Now, you just asked the question I was going to ask you. If there's no mechanisms to incentivize in a league that does have a lot of mechanisms when it goes to player categories and salary caps and everything else, why would we think this is organically going to change for a manager to become, quote-unquote, braver? There are certain coaches in the league that do use younger players, but it's on a dangerous ledge, I think, because I think we're stockpiling a lot of Caribbean players that potentially could be taking the opportunity away from some of these young men that we're talking about here that are U.S.-based.
No, 100% I can see that. It's a difficult question to answer, because I do agree with you that with what the question that you're asking. However, I also don't believe things should be handed out to players. They must work hard for what they're going to get, and they must deserve what they're going to get.
So what does the our – I want to stop you there, because, Rob, what does our system in your eyes need to create this cauldron of more healthy pressure for player development? Because we heard Jurgen Klinsmann talking and pushing players to go to Europe. Nobody likes to hear that, because we're a little bit overly sensitive here. But what can we do, or is it just time that's going to help make these environments build from a pressure level, a healthy pressure level?
To be honest, Glenn, it's difficult for me to answer that. I just don't have the million-dollar answer to that question. One thing I will say, though, that I believe is that the very best talent will 9 times out of 10 migrate towards the Europe anyway. And that's not because that's a slight on the U.S. and the U.S. leagues. Not at all. It's a natural human reaction that kids that are brought up watching big clubs in Europe on television week in and week out have a dream to go and play against the best players that they can play against. And generally you find that in Europe. So most kids worth their salt will want to go and have an American dream, will have a European dream and want to go over there as soon as possible. But again, it's not going to be a migration of a mega amount of players that then dilutes the league. You know, you may be talking about, and let's take that generation of 2000 born players, 2000, 2001, that went to the World Cup under 17 in India, right? Out of that team that reached the quarterfinals of the World Cup, I would say maybe 4 of them or maximum 5 will end up playing in Europe at a reasonable level. So I don't think, you know, that's not a high percentage when you consider, you know, 5 players out of all American males born in 2000, you know? Mm-hmm. But the point is this, Greg. If you can get between 3 and 5 players per year going to Europe and playing at a reasonable level, suddenly when it comes to senior U.S. national, U.S. men's national team level, suddenly your pool of well-developed, talented players is then so much greater. You understand?
Yes, absolutely.
It's a trickle per year, but the aggregate amount adds up to something substantial that then only has the benefit of being able to allow whoever's the men's national team coach at the time choose from an even greater talented pool. There are players that, for example, in the next cycle, the 2002s, there's a player, a youngster at Sporting Kansas called Busia. Okay, mm-hmm. now he's got a dual passport, Italian passport. But he, and for sure, there were clubs from Europe interested in him. But he chose to want to stay in the MLS and it was sign a homegrown with Kansas. Now, you know, I'm not yet to judge whether he made the right or wrong decision, because the decision he made is the decision he wanted to make. So no problem, you know. Not all of the best talents of a particular year will also elect to want to go to Europe. Some will elect that they want to stay in the States, you know?
Well, Rob, listen, this has been absolutely fascinating. I just want to extend the invitation. We'd love to have you on the show again to continue this discussion, because there's so much to discuss. But I think it was a great opportunity for not only myself, my listeners, all to learn something and kind of get a little bit more of an understanding of kind of what happens in the global world of youth soccer and player development and then onto the professional level. So all I can say is thank you so much for coming on here today and enlightening all of us.
Pleasure, Glenn. My pleasure.
All right, that's Rob Moore from London, the Managing Director of On Target Football Consultants. By the way, I'll tell you a little bit about him after the break. He also ran and has run clubs as an owner, including Ajax Cape Town in the Premier League of South Africa. So more to come. Take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.